Good morning. Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Good to see each of you here. Special welcome to the visitors. Thank you for joining us in our service this morning. This morning I would like to look at the subject of spiritual disciplines. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of the word, when you hear the word discipline. Probably some of you, maybe most of you think, ugh. That's unpleasant. Hard work, or boring, or some other negative response. And in truth, a discipline is something that takes work. And I don't promise to make this sound really fun or exciting, but hopefully by the end, we'll all agree that it is helpful and necessary for the Christian life. I was talking to someone recently, and by some of the things he said, I could tell he was a very disciplined person. It made me realize that there's a lot of areas in my own life that I could grow in this and I could improve on. I was also reflecting on this on our men's canoe trip. One morning we had a time of solitude, I think about an hour, I'm not sure it was quite an hour, almost an hour to be by ourselves alone with God. And I had picked a spot on the rocks that overlooked a river, up there on the French River. It's a beautiful spot with nature. And I was reflecting some on this there as well. So I realize this morning that this is something I need very much, probably more than any of you here this morning, so I'm preaching to myself. But I would like to look at not just self-discipline this morning, but spiritual disciplines that we can do. What do we mean by the term spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines are intentional actions found in Scripture that promote growth in holiness and deepen our relationship with God. They're actions that cultivate the spiritual growth, things that deepen our faith and foster intimacy with God. And when performed with dedication, they serve as a means to experience a spiritual connection and develop spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness. Now we might ask, who is spiritually mature? And I suppose we could say it's those who have had experience in the faith for some time. We might say older Christians, people who have been following Jesus for a long time. However, the Bible does not label immature Christians as non-spiritual, as if the category spiritual should be reserved only for the most mature or the elite of the elect. In 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about the mere infants in Christ. If they are truly in Christ, they are as spiritual as older Christians. And I think under the terms of the New Covenant, really the only spiritual person is the person who has the Holy Spirit. And that's each one of us who have been born again. The alternative, in Paul's terminology, is to be natural or merely human and not spiritual. So I think we can take from this that any Christian, whether new in the faith or not, can be a spiritual person. So how do spiritual disciplines work? When talking to a young pastor named Timothy, Paul encourages him to train yourself to be godly. And I like to read this passage. It's 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Not the whole passage, just these verses. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Paul explains here that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Holding the promise for both now, in this life, and in the life to come. The similarity between physical and spiritual training is informative. You know, if you want to be an Olympic-level gymnast, your daily life would be defined by certain disciplines. Some would help you do things you were previously probably unable to accomplish. You know, these might include endurance training, strength training, or conditioning. There'd be other kinds of disciplines as well, like cutting out certain habits that hinder your athletic performance. You might go to bed earlier, since you have to get up earlier to work out. You'd eat healthier. Your diet would probably become very specific as one of the things to help you in learning and growing and conditioning you for performing. Spiritual disciplines work similarly. Bible reading can be one spiritual discipline, and it's like a supercharged spiritual diet. It provides raw material that the Spirit uses to renew your mind and transform your heart. You might incorporate other disciplines that help in other ways, like maybe fasting. That's a discipline that encourages delayed gratification and self-discipline. I don't necessarily intend to bring a long list of these spiritual disciplines. Some others might be, though, like prayer, worship, whether that's in church or otherwise, pursuit of solitude or silence, as we especially think of meditation with God, Christian ministry, or financial giving. Now, some of these disciplines, like Bible study and prayer, I believe every Christian should practice. But then there are others that some people might benefit from for a mere period of time or a special season in their life. Spiritual disciplines help you develop better habits, makes you aware of Jesus' presence, or changes behaviors that make growth difficult. I'd like to look at a few characteristics of spiritual disciplines. The first one, the Bible prescribes both personal and interpersonal spiritual disciplines. There are those spiritual disciplines that we practice alone and those that we practice with other Christians. One example might be prayer, where we do both. You know, it's a personal spiritual discipline, but we also pray with the church. So this can be an interpersonal or congregational spiritual discipline as well. And I think we are to practice both. The Bible prescribes both of those for us. And Jesus practiced both as well. We don't want to think of spirituality and the spiritual disciplines just as something we do by ourselves. We are also to engage others in the practice. Secondly, second characteristic of spiritual disciplines is that they are activities. They are not attitudes. Disciplines are practices. They're things that you do. They're not character qualities. They're not graces. They're not the fruit of the Spirit. But they are things that you do. Joy, for example, is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit that is a result of living a Christ-like life. It's the result, possibly, of discipline done rightly. So it's a distinction between doing and being. The spiritual disciplines are about doing. For example, you read the Bible. That's a spiritual discipline. You meditate on the Scripture. You pray, or fast, or worship, or serve, or learn, and so forth. They're all activities. Now, the goal of practicing any given discipline is not about doing it as much as about being. Being like Jesus, or being with Jesus. But the biblical way to grow in being more like Jesus is through rightly motivated doing of the biblical spiritual disciplines. Back to our verses here in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." Not in the King James Version, but the goal is godliness. But the biblical means to get to that goal is to discipline yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking a lot about doing in this sermon this morning, you know, activities and things for us to do. And it might start to sound like I'm preaching a works religion. That's not my intent this morning. I want to clarify that doing any of these things on their own will not save you. You can read the Bible 3 hours a day and fast for a week if you want, but that in itself won't save you. And we're saved only by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. But I'm talking to us as Christians. If you are saved and desire a closer relationship with Jesus and desire to be more like Him, these are disciplines you can do that will help you reach that goal. A third descriptor of the spiritual disciplines is that we are talking about things that are practices taught or modeled in the Bible. And I think the reason this is important is otherwise we leave ourselves open to calling anything we want a spiritual discipline. Anything maybe we enjoy, maybe gardening is something you enjoy, and you would call that a spiritual discipline. Or exercise. Or maybe fishing, or any other hobby. Be tempted to call a spiritual discipline. Now there's other self-disciplines that we can do, and should do, that are good. But spiritual disciplines, I believe, are taught or modeled in the Bible. One problem in this, if we call anything we want a spiritual discipline, is that it leaves it up to us to determine what will be best for our spiritual health and maturity rather than accepting those things God has revealed in Scripture as the means of experiencing God and growing in Christ-likeness. Spiritual disciplines found in Scripture are sufficient also for knowing and experiencing God. There's verses in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 that says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This includes the good work of pursuing the purpose of godliness, the good work of growing in Christ and Christ-likeness. And the Scriptures are sufficient for that. So whatever else a person may claim regarding the spiritual benefits of some practice that is not in the Bible, at the very least, we can probably say it isn't necessary. If it were necessary for spiritual maturity, it would have been found and it would be found and promoted in the Scriptures. Another aspect of this is spiritual disciplines are derived from the gospel, not divorced from it. So rightly practiced, the spiritual disciplines take us deeper into the glories of the gospel, not away from it. Not as though we have moved on or advanced to some level of Christianity when we start doing these things. It's not that the gospel is the ABCs and then we get into the really deep things of God, the spiritual disciplines. No, the spiritual disciplines are derived from the gospel and they only take us deeper into a deeper understanding of the gospel. The last characteristic of the spiritual disciplines is that they are means and not ends. The end is the purpose of practicing the discipline. We might say is godliness or Christ-likeness. And the means are the helps to get you to that end goal. We are not godly just because we practice the spiritual disciplines. That was the great error of the Pharisees. They felt by doing these things they were godly. And Jesus rebukes them for that. In Matthew 23, he rebuked them for their pretense in making long prayers. You know, praying is a good thing. But when their goal was the prayer and how to make people notice their prayers, they were totally missing the point of praying. Spiritual disciplines should be a means to godliness. And rightly motivated prayer can be a means to godliness as well. An illustration of this might be if you decide that you want X amount of dollars saved up when you reach retirement, or maybe when you reach age 65. So I'm 45. So in 20 years, that gives me 20 years to save for retirement if I'm starting now. If you're 35, if you're 25, you have more years. So if I know I want X amount of dollars saved up at retirement, I have 20 years to get there. I can figure out approximately how much every month I need to set aside into a retirement fund if it makes approximately 10% interest, compound interest, approximately what that would be worth in 20 years. Now, my investing monthly, in essence, is not my goal. The goal is to have a fund when I turn 65 that I can use. But it's a means to get there. Because if any of you are like me, it's hard to say, next month we're going to put a whole bunch into a retirement fund, or next year. It probably won't happen. But the monthly investment is the means to get me to that goal of having a fund there when I turn 65. This thought has inspired me thinking about spiritual disciplines as I was studying. You know, similarly, I can make a goal that I'm going to get up earlier every day so I have time to read my Bible before I go to work. Is that a good goal? That's a good thing to do. But if I read the Bible, thinking about work, leave for work, forget what I read, and don't think about it the rest of the day, it probably profits me very little. On the flip side, if my goal is to get to know God better and desire to know His will for me, reading my Bible before work every day can be a good means to help me get to that goal. Example of how the spiritual disciplines are means, not ends. They're a means to get you to the goal that you have. I want to look at two Bible examples who practice spiritual disciplines. The first one is Jesus. He demonstrated this beautifully in his life. And the first spiritual discipline I want to look at is prayer. The Bible refers many times about Jesus praying. You know, he went up into a mountain to pray. He prayed all night in one incident. Even though he was all-knowing, he still wanted and needed that connection with his Father. And he used the discipline of prayer to get it. Interestingly enough, that time when he came to rescue the disciples, when he walked on the water and then calmed the storm, he had came from up on the mountain where he was praying. He had just been praying before that incident happened. The second spiritual discipline of Jesus' life is fasting. And I don't know that the Bible refers to Jesus fasting a lot throughout his ministry. I don't know if it does at all. But Luke 2 records how he fasted and prayed for 40 days in the wilderness before his ministry began. And I think this was a time of much spiritual battle for him. You know, his goal was not to surrender to Satan. And his goal was to be able to fulfill his Father's will for his life on this earth. And he used fasting and prayer as a means to help him through this. The beautiful part is afterwards, after the 40 days, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. That was the end. That was the result of his praying and fasting. He returned in the power of the Spirit. The third one is studying Scripture. And again, I don't think we have a lot of reference to him maybe studying while he was in ministry. But he quoted a lot of Scripture in his teachings. So I make the assumption that at some time earlier in his life, he must have studied and memorized Scripture. And I thought of the time in Luke 2, verses 41 to 48, when as a boy, 12 years old, he went to the temple with his parents. And you know the story, how they left, they thought he was with them, went a day's journey, and then discovered he wasn't there. When they came back and found him in the temple, it says he was with the doctors and teachers listening and asking questions. I see this as a time of studying Scriptures, trying to understand Scriptures, learning from those who knew Scriptures. And the result of that, it says that he increased in wisdom and stature. The other Bible character, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but it's Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, he demonstrated spiritual discipline by consistently praying three times a day, despite the risks involved. I'm sure he knew the law that the king had put in place, but not making any request or petition to any other god but the king. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter that his enemies were watching. He prayed anyhow. I think it was a discipline he had done for many years, and it was just part of his day. But he continually, consistently prayed three times a day. And it certainly illustrates his commitment to God. So how do we develop these spiritual disciplines? I really think a lot of this will probably vary with you as individuals. I have a couple points here, but I really think each one of us needs to find what works for us. One might be to establish a routine. Just like my illustration of contributing monthly to your RRSP plan or mutual fund for your retirement, monthly, so that it happens. Maybe it comes directly off your paycheck. But it's consistent. Otherwise, it might not happen. Establish a routine with your spiritual disciplines as well. I think that can enable us to continue faithfully in them. Another one might be to use accountability. Maybe ask a friend to join you. Or if not join you, at least to keep you accountable to the routine that you want to put in place or whatever. And the third one is seek guidance and resources. You know, we have lots of helps and resources at our fingertips today. Use them. Use them to help you establish and continue in the disciplines that you feel are helpful and needful in your life. There will be challenges to overcome as well. We know that. We might need to identify the distractions, battle laziness. I said at the beginning, this isn't necessarily easy or fun. Discipline is hard work. And we need to battle the laziness that might set in. And the third one, staying committed. Stay committed to what you feel, again, is necessary and helpful in your life. In conclusion, you might say by training ourselves in godliness, we unlock the benefits of spiritual maturity, strengthened faith, and peace. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says that God predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son. I think God's greatest goal and purpose for his children is conformity to the image of Christ. Or godliness. Conformity to the image of Christ. And though we would like to see that happen without effort, you know, the reality is godliness is accomplished through spiritual sweat. And it's foolish of us to think we can become more like Christ or godly without discipline in our lives. Again, I think the spiritual disciplines that you use or how you develop them will look differently from possibly everyone else in the room or in the group. But I trust that they can be a means to help you reach the goal of becoming more like Christ. May God bless each of you as you focus on that, pray about it, and focus on learning from God what he wants you to do to become more Christ-like. God bless each of you. And I'll ask a chorister for a closing song.